by golly, as I look out here today, y'all look fine. Just fine. And I hope you feel fine. Well, thank you. Thank you. I'm glad to hear that, because 6 years ago when I first arrived on the scene, Randy Williams, he said, "Boy, you look terrible. Just terrible." And it's been 6 years later, Sister Debbie, and Randy gave me a compliment about 2 weeks ago. He said, "You ain't improved much. You still look terrible. Just terrible." And I'm so thankful for that. A wise man once said, if you want to know where you're going and you want to know where you are, you've got to see where you've been. And as a nation, as we look forward to this coming new year, the president-elect, and all that God has in store for us, and even as we look back on our own personal lives over the course of the last few years, friend, let me ask you a question. Do you know where you're going? Do you know where you've been? And do you know where you are right now? I want you to take your Bibles, if you will, this morning. Be finding the 100th Psalm, if you will. And then please rise, if you are, as we honor the great God of heaven with the reading of His holy word. Now, I'm not going to read this whole Psalm, just two short verses this morning, verses 4 and 5. And the word of our God says, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving." Is that how you've come to church this morning? Do you have thanksgiving in your heart? "And into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." Would you bow with me in prayer? Oh God, may Your word be blessed. Truly, Father, we have come this morning not only because this is Thanksgiving week, but I pray, Father, every time we come in the doors of this house of God, that we come with a heart filled with thanksgiving for such a wonderful Savior. But Lord, the world would be a lonely place if it was just us. So I pray, Lord, we look around and we are thankful for one another. And for all the good things that You do unto us, Father, You deserve to be praised above all else. Oh, Father, we are so thankful unto You this morning. And I pray that every heart in here would be blessing the name of our great God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. And while you're seated, getting seated, I want you to know that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica and to us today these words: "Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Not for you, concerning. And God in heaven has a concern for you. He has a concern for me. He has a concern for the church. He has a concern for freedom. He has a concern for our salvation. And I want you to understand this morning, the call to be thankful comes from our Creator Himself. And, you know, I've had some time on my hands this past week, and I love history. And so this being the Sunday before Thanksgiving, God has led me to direct us back in history, to travel back. Because if we want to know where we're going as a nation, if you want to know where you ought to be going as a child of God, you better know where you have come from, where you have been. You can't even understand where you are right now without knowing where you have been. And so the origin of Thanksgiving came to that we observe in these United States. Well, we're just going to tell the story, and then we're going to tie it up with how great God is at the end. How many of you are aware that of the 102 pilgrims who arrived here, Only 47 survived till spring. And at one point, only a half a dozen were healthy enough to care for the rest. But thankfully, in the spring of 1621, now how many of you would agree? That's way back yonder. How many of you are alive in 1621? Gordon, I thought we had you there, but you know you're not that old. Praise the Lord, he's not that old. But 1621. So we've gone a long way back because this is the origin of our nation. The Pilgrims came to America. And the Indian Squanto came among them, and Squanto showed them how to catch fish, how to plant corn, how to trap beaver, and he was their interpreter with the other Indian tribes. How many of you know this? How many of you have been to another country? Raise your hand. You've been to another country. Did they speak English? And when they don't speak English, you need someone to speak. I had the great opportunity several years ago, 2004, to go to Argentina as a short-term missionary down to Cordoba, Argentina. And down there they speak Spanish. I don't speak a lick of Spanish, see? That's my one word I know. But, and I had to have an interpreter. And he spoke. And it was a very interesting sermon, you see. I would say one sentence, then he would interpret it. Then he'd look at me, I'd say one sentence, he would interpret it. Then he'd look at me, I'd say one sentence, he would interpret it. And this thing went on for like a couple of hours. Thankfully, people got saved. But when you go somewhere where you've never been, you need an interpreter. And Governor William Bradford at that time described Squanto as a special instrument sent of God for their good beyond their expectation. Friends, we're all on a journey. But do you know who's gone before us? Do you know who's paving the pathway for the next step in this great big journey called life that we are on? When you get to where you're going, God's going to have someone there who's ready to aid you in your success. Bradford added, the settlers began to plant their corn, in which service Squanto stood them in good stead, showing them how to plant it and cultivate it. He also told them, unless you got fish to manure this exhausted old soil, it is going to come to nothing. You see, when the Pilgrims arrived, they didn't know how to do anything, I guess. Now just imagine, because they came across the pond, and God had someone where they were going. How many of you know this? God knows your needs better than you do. You think you know what you need. I can think I know what I need. But God knows our need. I bet you when they got in that old ship on the other side of the pond and set sail, they were setting sail with great hope in their heart that when they got to the new land, it was going to provide for them exactly what they wanted. But you see, they didn't know anything. But God had someone. His name was Squanto. In the middle of April, plenty of fish would come up the brook. And Squanto taught them how to catch them. Pilgrim Edward Winslow recorded that in the fall of 1621, and I want you to listen to who gets the credit. God be praised. We had a good increase. Our harvest being gotten in, our governor sent four men on following that so we might after a special manner rejoice together after we had gathered the fruit of our labors. They four in one day killed as much fowl as, with a little help beside, served the company almost a week. At which time, among other recreations, we exercised our arms, many of the Indians coming amongst us, and among the rest, their greatest king, Massasoit, with some 90 men, whom for 3 days we entertained and feasted. They went out and killed 5 deer, which they brought to the plantation and bestowed on our governor and upon the captain and others. And although it be not always so plentiful, as it was at this time with us, yet by the goodness of God. We are so far from want that we often wish you partakers of our plenty. You see, in 1621, it was a different world. You didn't run down to Food Lion. You didn't run down to Walmart grocery store. You didn't go to McDonald's, or you didn't have the amenities that we have today. If you wanted to eat back in 1621, you better grow it, you better hunt it, you better dress it, you better cook it, you better prepare it. You know, it kind of reminds me of what God asked us to do today. How many of you realize we have to prepare our hearts every time we come to the Bible, whether it's in the privacy of your own home, or here at church, or in a Sunday school class? If our hearts aren't prepared, guess what? We can't receive. Oh, how the heart needs to be prepared. And Bradford described the same event. And besides waterfowl, there was a great store of wild turkeys, of which they took many beside venison. Besides, they had about a peck a meal a week to a person, and now since harvest Indian corn to that proportion. In the fall, the idea of a fall day of Thanksgiving, that kind of implanted it. But perhaps it came to their mind, you see, as we travel back a little bit farther. When the pilgrims moved to Leiden, Holland in 1609, Dutch citizens there annually gave thanks to God for William of Orange, who in 1574 ended the bloody Spanish furies where Spain's Iron Duke of Alba had butchered tens of thousands. And Dutch historian Jeremy du Puritas Bangs, in his article of 1621, a historian looks anew at Thanksgiving, documented that a friend of pilgrim elder William Brewster, whose name was Jan Orlers, wrote of the city of Leiden's thanksgiving to God for Spain being driven out of the Netherlands. And this is what he wrote: every year throughout the city, a general day of prayer and thanksgiving held and celebrated on the 3rd of October to thank and praise God Almighty that He so mercifully had saved the city from her enemy. Do you realize we're all in here this morning simply because of the mercies of God? The Bible says His mercies are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. Those same mercies that were available back in 1574, 1609, 1621 are still alive and well in 2024. And I want to say to you, I think sometimes as we go through life, because it seems like we're running at supersonic jet speed, we take little time to think, little time to remember. I may not be describing you, but sometimes this happens to me. But I think you're a lot like me. I mean, you're human too. I think sometimes we're moving so fast, we think we're headed in the direction we need to head, only we get there and we find out this isn't where we're supposed to be at all. And the reason we got off track is because we didn't know where we've been, so we don't know where we are, and we don't know how to get to where we're going. And so sometimes it's just good to go back and remember. But did you know that Almighty God had also placed in Leiden a community of persecuted Jews who had been exiled from Spain? The persecution of Jewish people has been going on for centuries. Thus, beginning in 1575, at the University of Leiden, students were taught Hebrew, Aramaic, and Syriac by a rabbi, just as pilgrim elder William Brewster taught students English. Pilgrims would have observed the Jews celebrating Thanksgiving, the annual Thanksgiving Feast of Tabernacles. And the idea was planted. It's just like you. Let's just say Brother George, he goes to a soccer game. He's watching his grandchildren, but he sees something else happen, and it implants in his mind. He's seen it. It's there. There's a mental picture, and he remembers it. How many of you have had that happen to you? You see something, you remember it. Well, they remembered They remembered what the Jews were doing. They remembered what they had heard. They remembered about this Thanksgiving. And the idea is getting planted in their mind and in their heart. And you see, as the pilgrims identified with the Jews who fled from Pharaoh across the Red Sea in search of their promised land, as the pilgrims were fleeing from the King of England across the sea in search of their promised land, the Israelites had self-government called the Hebrew Republic. And it operated quite well. For 400 years they operated well under a Hebrew Republic until they asked for a king. And this example of self-government inspired the Puritan reformers. It inspired the Pilgrim separatists. It inspired our founding fathers. And Protestant scholars who studied the Hebrew Republic were called Christian Hebraists. And are you aware that when Harvard and Yale were founded in New England, Hebrew was taught? It was based upon the Bible. It was based upon Christianity. Historian Jeremy Rick Bangs again explained how pilgrims thank God. Our knowledge of the 1621 Thanksgiving comes from Winslow and Bradford. Winslow's choice of words, understood by his contemporaries, implies to us that the pilgrims gave thanks to God for their preservation and for the plenty that gave hope for the future. Winslow specifically tells us that the colonists sat down with their native neighbors and enjoyed several days of peaceful rejoicing together. It is a history with potent symbolism, and it needs neither apology nor distortion. And Bangs added, when Winslow described the pilgrim intention after a more special manner to rejoice together after we had gathered the fruit of our labors, do you realize he was alluding to what Jesus said in John chapter 4, verse 36? Jesus said in John 4 and 36, "And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto eternal life, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together." We come to church to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But we also come to church to rejoice together that we are Christians, born free by being born again by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Free. And this is the way America was founded. On November 9, 1621, 37 new pilgrims arrived from England on the ship called Fortune. And the joy of greeting the second group of pilgrims was quickly dampened when it was discovered they brought with them no food or supplies. This resulted in the second winter having a starving time, is how they termed it. Where at one point, now just imagine this, where at one point each person was rationed just 5 kernels of corn a day. Well, do you eat all 5 at once? Do you eat 1 every 3 hours? 5 kernels of corn a day. Attempting to repay the merchant adventurers who had financed their trip, the pilgrims filled the Fortune with $500 worth of furs, but tragically the ship was captured by French pirates, leaving the pilgrims in greater debt. And then in 1622, the friendly Indian chief Massasoit became ill. And pilgrim leader Edward Winslow visited him. He doctored him. He thankfully regained health, which contributed to peace, which lasted over 50 years. And I'll tell you, Brother Winslow was sweating it. He was especially grateful because back then, if you treated an Indian and they didn't survive, guess what? You didn't survive either. So he survived. And there was peace for 50 years. 2 years after the pilgrim landing, there was a drought in 1623. What is God sharing with us? Life is hard. Life is tragic at times, amen? We're not always going to be on the mountaintop. Sometime we're going to be low in the valley. Sometime we might be halfway. Someone coming in here this morning, I said, how you doing? They said, I'm halfway. I said, I'll see if I can get you the other half. You let me know after service if I got you there. I'm trying to get them full. But you see, life is tough, and we all know that. Life isn't easy. If you think life is easy, you're out of your mind. I mean, I'm old, but I'll tell you what, you got to be tough to get old. Amen, brother, buddy? All right. And Edward Winslow recorded in Alexander Young's Chronicles of the Pilgrims, drought and the like considerations move not only every good man privately to enter into examination with his own estate between God and his conscience. And I think if you were getting 5 kernels of corn a day, and you're in a starving time, and you're in a drought, how many of you would say, I don't know if I'm going to make it? How many of you would say, times are tough? How many of you would begin to examine your heart, your walk, your life with God, because you might not receive another day? And you know, the Bible talked all the time about examine yourself, doesn't it, Brother Steve? Examine yourself, examine yourself. And they entered into examination with their own estate, their own heart. That's what they're talking about. And between God and their conscience, and so to humiliation before Him, but also to humble ourselves together. They came together to humble themselves before the Lord with prayer and fasting. And here was their attitude. You see, you got to know where you've been so you know where you are, so you can see where you're going. Their attitude was, when things were bad, they would have days of prayer. When things were real bad, they would have days of fasting. And when things turned around, they would have days of rejoicing, days of thanksgiving. And after the pilgrims prayed and fasted, Governor Bradford wrote, afterwards, the Lord sent them such seasonable showers with interchange, fair, warm weather, as though His blessing caused a fruitful and liberal harvest to their no small comfort and rejoicing for His mercy. In time convenient, they also set apart a day of thanksgiving. How many of you know, my hope is that you all study your Bible. My hope is that you all read your Bible. The reason that's my hope is because Jesus said, man cannot live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So if you really want to live, stop living on illegitimate substitutes and start drinking in and feasting on the Word of God. But my hope is this, that you read and that you study the Word of God. And the reason for that is you'll be more thankful of heart. You'll have more courage when times are tough. You'll stand just a little bit stronger. Do you realize this morning we're not only here by the mercies of God, but we are here because of the grace of God? His grace is new. His grace is powerful. His grace is amazing. By this time, harvest was come, and instead of famine, now God gave them plenty, for which they blessed God. And you see, they prayed and they fasted. And if you read the Bible, you will know that God moves when His people pray. But God will not move before His people pray. So if you want God to move in your life, you need to make certain the prayers that you are praying are in line with God's Word. Jesus said, whatsoever ye ask in My name shall be done for you. But there may be a call in your life where God says you need to do without for a little while. You need to humble yourself. You need to repent. You need to get straight with me. And then I'm going to move. And then I'll move. And the effect of their particular planning was well seen, for all had pretty well, so as any general want or famine had not been amongst them since to this day. And decades later, a Thanksgiving proclamation was issued by the Governing Council of Charlestown, Massachusetts, June the 20th, 1676. The council is thought meet to appoint a day of solemn thanksgiving and praise to God. That the Lord may behold us as a people offering praise and thereby glorifying Him. See, they didn't take credit. They gave it. They didn't say, look what I done. They said, look what the Lord has done. They didn't try to steal God's glory by saying, look how smart I am. No, they thanked God. The council doth command it to the respective ministers, elders, and people of this jurisdiction solemnly and seriously to keep the same, beseeching that being persuaded by the mercies of God, we may all, even this whole people, offer up our bodies and souls as a living and acceptable service unto God by Jesus Christ. Kind of reminds you of Romans 12 too, doesn't it? Present yourself as a living sacrifice that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Do you realize that's what God expects of us? To be a living sacrifice. Yet we have grown up in the age of materialism. The idea of sacrificing is so far removed from our vocabulary, from our ideology. Is it any wonder that perhaps we're not seeing God move in a mighty, mighty way as He wants to? Could it be? Let's put it in the form of a question. We could look up to heaven, couldn't we? And we could all ask, God, is the reason you're not moving in my life? Because I have not been or am not willing to be that living sacrifice that you have asked me to be. Lord, I know there's some things that you want me to do, but up till now I've been unwilling. I don't know. You've got to answer it for yourself. But God moves when people get real with God. And God moved and established a nation, a republic, freer than any nation, and has blessed this nation, which makes up 4% of the total landmass of the world and 4% of the world's population. And God has blessed America abundantly more than we could ever ask or think, because America put God first, and we founded our nation on the Bible. And maybe we need to found our lives on the Bible. See, it's so easy to say I'm a Christian and then live like a heathen. Because we don't want sacrifice. And I would tell you, when you look at that cross behind me, grace isn't cheap. It cost God His very own Son. When we look back at where we have been, we see a people who came because they were under religious persecution. They came to this nation so that they could live free and be free to preach and teach the Word of God. And they inspired people so much so that our founding fathers founded the nation on the Word of God. And thanksgiving was a part of it. But it didn't come without sacrifice. Ben Franklin wrote of the Pilgrims' Thanksgiving, "There is a tradition that in the planting of New England, the first settlers met with many difficulties and hardships, as is generally the case when a civilized people attempt to establish themselves in a wilderness country. Being so piously disposed, they sought relief from heaven by laying their wants and distresses before the Lord in frequent set days of fasting and prayer." Constant meditation and discourse on these subjects kept their minds gloomy and discontented, and like the children of Israel, there were many disposed to return to Egypt, which persecution had induced them to abandon. Now, isn't it interesting? My daddy used to say this, so I'm going to share something my daddy used to, well, he still says it. When I got ready to go to Argentina in 2004, you know, you might expect I was a little nervous. I didn't know anybody down there. I don't speak the language the whole 9 years. And my daddy just said, "Now, Don, you know better than this. People are people the world around." Isn't it interesting that we see here that they were discontented? Why is it, friends, that we now live in abundance and have more discontent in our nation, in our families, than ever before? Back then, they didn't have it, and they had to set aside days of fasting and prayer, and the more they focused on what they didn't have, the more discontented they became. Well, people are people of the world around, and the more we focus on what we don't have, guess what? The more discontented we become. And we begin to look to the right and we begin to look to the left. And the Bible tells us to set our eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on the finisher and the author of your faith. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Praise God for what you do have. And I'm so thankful for every one of you. I'm thankful God's allowed me to be the pastor here. And in just a few short weeks, I'll no longer be the pastor here. But I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the tribulations, for the trials, for every day I have had here. I am so thankful. They've not all been pretty days. Some have been tough days. There were some times I'd walk across the parking lot at night wondering if I'd be the pastor by Sunday. And then I made mistakes because I'm not perfect. But I just kept my eyes on Jesus. I didn't focus on the issues. I focused on Jesus. Franklin continued, "At length, when it was proposed in the assembly to proclaim another fast, a farmer," thank God for farmers. You know, farmers aren't the most learned men in the world. I mean, some are. But isn't it interesting that this last administration looked down on farmers, the very people who provide the food on our tables in today's world? "But a farmer of plain sense rose and remarked that the inconveniences they suffered and concerning which they had so often wearied heaven with their complaints were not so great as they might have expected and were diminishing every day as the colony strengthened, that the earth began to reward their labor and furnish liberally for their subsistence, that their seas and rivers were full of fish, the air sweet, the climate healthy, and above all, they were in the full enjoyment of liberty, civil and religious. He therefore thought, reflecting and conversing on these subjects would be more comfortable and lead more to make them contented with their situation than that it would become, and that it would be more becoming the gratitude they owed to Almighty God." How many of you would agree with me that you're sitting here today and you owe your gratitude to Almighty God? Friend, you don't breathe. You don't see. You don't talk. You don't drive in here today. You didn't get dressed, showered, shaved, whatever, without God. these beautiful children to come to our sanctuary, the babies that have been born, the people that have left, that went on to a better place. All came from God. We owe it all to God. And so the farmer thought and he said, we ought to stop our complaining and start thanking God for all that He has done, is doing, and will do. That's how come I know the church is going to be all right. If the church will praise God. If the church will thank God. If the church will keep their eyes on God. Guess what? You'll be all right. But if you become a whining church, a complaining church, a miserable church, you might be in trouble. But then that goes for my life, and it goes for your life too. Friend, have you ever met a happy, contented complainer? Have you ever met a joyful whiner? Have you ever met an enthusiastic, discouraged person? It's a choice, isn't it? We owe it to God. You know, as I was waking up this morning at 5 o'clock, my eyes opened. I said, it's early, but I said, oh God, thank you. Thank you, God. I get to start another day. Don't know how it's going to end. Thank you, God, that maybe I'll get another opportunity to preach. You see, preaching hour was a little ways off, but thank you, God, maybe I'll get that opportunity. Thank you, God. Thank you. Well, instead of fasting, they provide a day of thanksgiving. His advice was taken, and from that day to our day in 2024, we have in every year in these United States observed Thanksgiving Day. A day which was therefore constantly ordered and religiously observed. Friends, the origin of Thanksgiving teaches that it isn't the hardships we face that make us, break us, or define us. It is how we respond to those hardships that make us, break us, or define us. Life is hard. Amen? It is fraught with many trials. Amen? It is fraught with heartaches. Amen? Yet there is a Holy Father in heaven who watches over us. There's a Holy Father in heaven who sees round the corner. He knows what He's about to do. But if we don't know where we've been, we won't know where we are, so we won't know where we're going. There is a Father who loves us so much that cross behind me says that He gave His only begotten Son so that whosoever can be saved. Jesus hung on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. Now, don't get the idea that sin is only bad things. It's not just bad things. Sin is also the good things we know we ought to do and we choose not to do them. We're all sinners. Saved by grace, I pray. But if you're not saved, you need to be saved. And anybody can be saved who wants to be saved, and nobody can be saved who doesn't want to be saved. But Jesus has already paid the penalty. The Bible teaches that while we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. Think about that. When we were God's enemies, His Son was willing to die for us, to provide for us through repentance of our sin a way back into the good graces of our God. The psalmist wrote, "The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. My God is good." I hope the God you worship, you say, God is good. And He's good all the time. The earth is full of the Lord, of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Well, I think about that. And it's not only the nation who's blessed, whose God is the Lord. It's the life who chooses for Jesus that gets blessed because God is their Lord. Your sins are forgiven. You've been washed in the blood. Heaven is where you're headed. Friends, we're on a journey. We're just a traveling through. We're headed home to the glories of heaven. And oh, what a day it's going to be when at last we see the face of the one who saved us by his amazing grace. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, church, we're on a journey. But you better know where you've been so you can know where you are right now, so you know where you're going. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't look to the right. Don't look to the left. Look up. Look up. He's on his throne. And if you woke up today, and y'all did, and I'm thankful for it because you didn't read your name in the obituary column. You didn't even see it, did you? You can rejoice by choice because God is on your throne. Don't get the idea because I'm putting my glasses away that I'm done. Our God is a great God. He's a wonderful God. He's my God. Keep your eyes on Jesus because he is the author and finisher of all things. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your amazing grace, your abundant mercies. Thank you for this church. Thank you for Thanksgiving. We have so much to be thankful for. In Jesus' name. Amen.